Christmas Eve is marked by quietness, unhurried stillness, the absence of urgency. Christmas Eve is the space where you're not trying to convince, fix, or perform, but just come. When the rush of the world steps back and allows the presence of a newborn baby to speak. In our worship, in our quietness, we find trust. Trust that Emmanuel is already here. Trust that our schedules, our expectations, our plans for Christmas and all coming up cannot and will not interrupt his holiness. Trust that our silence will carry more of his presence than a song or prayer ever could. Your quietness is the courage to stop acting and believe that God is still on the move. Drop your shoulders. Slow your breath. Here in this candlelit room, we share the understanding that something sacred is unfolding here tonight. That the God of creation has placed himself in the world as an infant in the stillness of the night, away from the attention of the world, away from pomp and circumstance, a humble, quiet entry into the world. We read from Luke chapter 2, verse 12 earlier. Listen to this. The herald says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." The herald of Christ announced in such few words to these shepherds that the Savior of the world has come in the most unlikely place. Elegantly simple, he didn't come to be a famous influencer. But to suffer and to die. It's almost offensive to our senses that anyone with that kind of power, notwithstanding the very power of God, would make themselves vulnerable to anything. Our instinct is to use strength and authority to protect ourselves, to stay alive, to stay safe, and more so, we are compelled to make ourselves known, to let everyone around us be impressed with our abilities, to be famous, to be successful. Think about this, Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 9, after a tremendous demonstration of God's power over the priests of Baal. Elijah goes and complains to God that perhaps he hasn't done enough to preserve his own name. God, maybe I'm the last one, one so courageous and brave. This is what God said to Elijah. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Of course, Elijah did this, and the word says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't there. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. Well, after the earthquake came a great fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle, gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. God's voice wasn't missing from the power Elijah saw. It was simply disclosed in a way that required a certain attentiveness, a certain quietness of the soul and of the heart. We search for God in the big so often, and yet here tonight, we find his greatest strength in the quietness of a tiny corner of Bethlehem where no one would even notice. It's in that silence and in the quiet where I believe we are closest to God's heart, where power and vulnerability share equal footing, quiet. That same attentiveness required here was required in Bethlehem. And it was not a temporary condition God intended to outgrow. Listen to the creed. Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, buried, all to overcome the sins of the world and death. But he became an infant, the weakest, neediest, most incapable, helpless version of a human. An infant. The creed traces this single life of Christ, conceived, born, crucified, buried. The God entered the world, dependent on us, and remained faithful to that posture, to the cross. God could have come as a mighty warrior, battle ready, with an army of soldiers ready to conquer the world, but he chose this. Listen to Philippians chapter 2 from the Apostle Paul. Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, that humiliating, humiliating death. The miracle of Advent, of our advent of Christ in the quiet of tonight, is that God in his most complete, most whole nature in Christ made himself inconsequential to our perception. Friends, Advent is not merely about waiting. It's about learning to recognize God when he comes in the quiet stillness of the night. He comes vulnerably. He comes close. He comes to be touched and to touch. Christ's quiet entry into the world was the intention to become the salvation of the world. Pray with me. O God of eternal love and master of glorious, simple, unexpected gifts for your children, today marks the beginning of our waiting for you, our anticipation of a great festival in honor of your decision to save the world through your Son. Help us tonight to cast aside our feverish pace and open our pressured lives to the first sounds of your promises. Help us, Father, to be quiet enough to hear your voice, eager enough to catch every word of grace, of love, and peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, whose coming we await. Amen. Invite up our readers.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel.
Revelation 12:10-11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. We light this candle as a sign of the coming of Christ. Christ means anointed one. We have set out, like David, believing we must build God's house. But the Lord says, I will build my house. The anointed one, Christ, is the fulfillment of God's promise to David. The place of God's dwelling has come to earth in Jesus. Let us live under the reign of Christ forever.
Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Please pray with us. Watch, O Lord, with those who wake or watch or weep tonight, and give your angels and saints charge over those who sleep. Tend to your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones. Soothe your suffering ones. Shield your joyous ones. We need you, O Lord. All this is for your love's sake. Amen.
So the beauty of this evening, as we've gone through our candle lighting week by week, is that the light of Christ continues. The early disciples responded by sharing the good news, letting others know. And somehow, thousands of years later, here we are, continuing to share the light of the humble Savior who came to save us. So as we light these candles, and I'll start, I want you to share the light with the person next to you, remembering the good news of the great joy that the Savior Jesus has come, and one day he will return and make all things new. All